Hello one more time. Thank y'all for having us. We're thankful to be here. It's wonderful to see everyone again and to sit and fellowship with you and speak with you. And I'm thankful to be preached to. Love you dearly. Thank you. Eric's always been steady to me. I mean, just solid. I'm not. I feel like I come and go. But I was thinking of Moses and Jonah. Moses was the meekest man that ever walked the face of this earth, born of Adam. He made it 39 and a half years, and he popped. And that shows me, no matter how good I think I got it together, the Lord has to keep me. And then Jonah, that peevish prophet, walked through a town preaching 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. And then he built a shed, kicked his feet up, and said, I'm going to watch this place burn. Both of them had something in common. They were both the Lord's prophets, weren't they? Adam, thank you for that song. I wish I could finger pick like that. John Davis plays that on a banjo. That is wildly different, isn't it? Same song, and I love it either way. I love it both ways. They're both my favorite. It's something in it. Genesis 15, if you'll turn there with me. People might think I have a theme. I just need to keep it in order so I remember what I'm talking about. Friday night, we looked at the work of salvation. Call his name Jesus because for he shall save his people from their sins. Who's he? That's what we looked at yesterday morning. The Lord, my shepherd. My shepherd. He's your shepherd, but he's mine. He's mine. That's who does the saving. Well, if the Lord, the person, salvation's of the Lord, and he has done the work of salvation, somebody had to be saved. There's an object, isn't it, that he saved. A person that he saved. The person saved a person. The person saved a people. He shall save his people. Well, what's that mean for us? Is this just something that's on a wall chart somewhere? Is this just written in a book somewhere and we don't get to read it? There's benefits to that. I call this the reward of salvation because if the title was when you sell stuff, there's features and benefits. Here's the features. This is what it does. And here's the benefits, how it's going to help you. I'm not a salesman. But I'll tell you about the rewards of salvation. Do you know God? Has he come to you in power and saved you? And he's the one that did it. And then after this has happened, you ever been afraid? You ever been scared? Have you ever thought, well, I'm naked. I feel so exposed. I feel unprotected. I just feel like I'm just left out in the wind. And you ever just felt broke? Broken-spirited, broken-hearted, broken-walleted. I'm going to run out of money. I'm going to go pay these bills. Lord, you saved me. You're going to let me starve to death in the desert now? You ever felt that? So I've heard people say believers don't do this. Well, throw out the Psalms and throw out everyone that the Lord comes to and speaks in power and says, fear not. Fear not. That's because they was afraid. They was in fear. Peace. That's because there wasn't no peace there. He's the peace. He comes and speaks to his children. Genesis 15:1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. After what things? After we're going through Genesis in San Diego, so I'll give you a quick rundown. After these things, something happened. The Lord came to Abraham. Well, the old writer said there's 10 great trials of Abraham. Abraham was halfway through. He was halfway through. He'd already been through five. The Lord had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and said, you leave your mother and father and you follow me. Well, he left and his father followed him. He didn't leave daddy. Leave your mother and father. Follow me. Well, he did. They went up to Terah. They were tarried there 5 years. And the Lord killed his father. He said, now, you can go to the land I've gave you. And he went there and he built an altar. And, well, times is tough. So he went down to Egypt. There's another trial. had the trial in the Chaldees, trial in Terah, trial in Egypt. He told Sarah, his beautiful wife, who was like 75 years old, honey, lie and say you're my sister. She must have been a pretty lady, huh? That trial, Pharaoh found out about it, kicked him out of there. Well, everything's fine. Now we got a bunch of goods, got a bunch of servants. Hagar's with them now. Now we worship God again. We'll go back. And then Lot came to him and said, our herdsmen are fighting one another because we just have so much. And I'm in a real estate business. And I don't want to give up ground I've already gathered. And so I tell you what we're going to do. And Abraham says, you pick. You take what, if you want to go left, I'll go right. You want to go right, I'll go left. Not once did Lot say, you know what, we got it so good. We have the worship of God right here. I'll sell off everything I have. We still got more sheep than we could eat in a lifetime. I want to be with you. They wouldn't give up ground. And so Abraham, trusting the Lord, watched him walk into Sodom. Well, here come four kings. It was four kings made a confederacy. They bound together. And they whooped five kings. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? It gets more impressive than that. And they took Sodom and Gomorrah and these other cities. And Lot was one of them in there. And Abraham wasn't going to stand for it. Now he calls him my brother. He said, I'm going to get my brother. And out of this great household of Abraham, he had 318 military-age males against four kings that had beat five kings. So what they've acquired, really, that's nine kings, isn't it? Here comes 318 men. He whooped all of them. Took the people, took the goods, come back. And on this great, after that great trial of Lot, recovering Lot, here they come back. And Melchizedek, the high priest, visits him. He was the king that came to him, King Melchizedek. And being a prophet, he told him what God had done. Look what the Lord did. I know you just did it. You didn't do it. The Lord did that. Here's the king being a prophet and saying the Lord is going to bless you. And being a priest, he interceded. He blessed the Lord. He made intercession for Abram. This one that appeared that had no beginning, that had no end. He was a king. He was a prophet. He was a priest. You know what he brought with him? Bread and wine. Well, the Lord's table had not been established. No, but Christ had been established. His work had been established, and that's what he was preaching to Abraham. They had the first, a church service right there. That's a true worship service, sacrifice that took place. And then here comes the king of Sodom. He sees Christ's sacrifice, and he tells what he will sacrifice. Oh, what wickedness. Look here in chapter 14, verse 21. Genesis 14, 21, just to the left of the page. Then the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons, and you take the goods to thyself. What wickedness. What wickedness. But Abraham having his pure mind stirred up, he just left Melchizedek. He responds in true faith. He responds to this king, believing God, trusting his heavenly king, and to provide him everything on this earth. He responds to this earthly king, verse 22. And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread, even a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, Mamre, let them take their portion. He said, these people around me, they take anything they want to take. I don't care. But as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. These people will not be given up. Does that sound, who's praying there? Is that mighty Abraham? That's a picture of our Lord, isn't it? That's what he said there in Joshua. Our pastor pointed that out to me years ago, and I wrote it down. Thank you. There in Joshua 24, people so misquote that. They said, well, as for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. The Lord begins speaking. Joshua says, thus saith the Lord, and the people don't respond to way after. But verse 15 of Joshua 24 says, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, this is the Lord still speaking. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, on the other side of the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. You can either serve them old-fashioned gods, lowercase g, or you can serve the newfangled gods you have now. But as for me and my house, I can want to say that. I can intend to say that. He can say this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Abraham just did that. Stood up from the king of Sodom. Says, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Take what you want. Give me them people. I won't lose one. I won't lose one. That's strong, isn't it? Would he need comfort after something like that? Something must have happened between this wonderful, bold, monumentous occasion. He made a bold, dogmatic statement. The Lord's going to prove to him he means it, doesn't he? Fear came in. A great trial was suffered. And being brought through all these trials, what just happened? Another one's coming. Abraham was afraid. Because the Lord dresses his fear, doesn't he? What was he afraid of? He had just insulted the king. Could you imagine insulting a king? Don't matter. You just whipped 9 of them and you just rescued that king. He's still a man, isn't he? He insulted a king. Said, "You do, get out of here. Beat it." And he said, "You keep everything you got. I don't want a penny from you. But I get the people." Well, now he had a bunch of people. He already had 318 servants, men servants. So now there's probably at least 1,000. Now he has more people. He's got to provide for those people. This patriarch has to take care of them, make sure they eat. And I just gave everything away. And I just made a king mad. Oh, what am I going to do? He went from hero to zero, as we used to say. He went from so strong in the faith to cowering in a corner. Anytime I think I'm really standing on my hind 2 legs, and I'm like, yeah, I ain't afraid. I believe the Lord, and I'm going to tell you about it. I instantly know I better watch myself. If it's my pride that's standing, I'm getting ready to fall. He was cowering in the corner. In such a time of weakness, in such a time of unbelief, in such a lack of trusting God, considered only this worldly king, not looking to the high king of heaven, in a time right after seeing our Lord defending the gospel, these things, those great things that happen, but him being a man, an individual, that experiences what you and I experience. The Lord comes to him and says, after these things, Genesis 15:1, word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. He saw it. Christ came to him, saying, this vision spoke. Christ spoke to him. How precious is that? How precious is that? The word of the Lord came to Abram. Who's the word? Christ is the word, isn't it? Christ spoke to a sinner. Oh, I hope I don't take that for granted. He called him by name. And that's the way it is with every one of his children. He comes to them in saving grace. He speaks to their hearts. I can speak to your head. I can speak to your emotions. I can speak to your fears or whatever, play on things. The Lord can speak to the heart. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I love them. And I know their frame. And they follow me. His sheep hear the preaching of the truth in this word. And he knows us and we know him and we follow him. We have a true desire. We have a pure motive for the first time to follow this word. Not out of personal benefit, not out of personal gain, not quid pro quo. But because of love. The outside always looks the same, doesn't it? But the motive's different. Because he spoke to our hearts. He knows us. We know him. He loved us first. He said in John 10, he said, to him, to Christ, the porter, the Father, openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He calls his people by name. Fear not, Abram. Abram. Can you put your name in there? Fear not, Kevin. Throughout time, that's been the case, isn't it? A little bit further in Genesis, Hagar got wrapped up out of Egypt and drug up there in the north, and now she was a bondservant of Sarai, and now she's with child with Abram. She ran, was brought allured out into the wilderness, just like Gomer was. And the Lord spoke to Hagar and said, Hagar, fear not. You think she's got anything to fear after that? He went to Daniel. Daniel, fear not. Mary, fear not, Mary. Joseph, Fear not. That's what the angel came speaking. Peter, fear not. It is I. Each of us by name. He calls us by name. That's precious, isn't it? When did fear first enter this world? When sin did. That's what Adam said in the garden. The Lord called to him and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I hear thy voice in the garden." Not a God, not the God of our imagination. I heard the God. I heard your voice. And I was afraid because I was naked. I wasn't covered. And I hid myself. Many times the fear of God's people are not known to others, but our Lord knows. Before we mention them to anyone else, before we mention them to Him, He knows them because He sent those trials that makes us afraid. And He considers our frame of those that He approaches, that He draws near to, and He considers our troubles, and He considers our fears. The compassion of that. David wrote about that. He said, "I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversity. Thou hast not shut me up to the hand of the enemy. You know me, Lord, and you haven't left me alone." And he said, "You've set my feet in a large room." That's not our modern vernacular, is it? What's that mean? You arrested me, you purchased me, and now I'm in an 8x10 cell. I got a big room. I have liberty now. I'm in you, and I can walk around. I can get up and stretch some. It'll be just fine. Abraham was struggling, and the Lord knew it before Abraham cried out. And God answered him before he cried out. He hadn't said, "I'm afraid." The Lord came to him and said, "Fear not." He didn't say, "I'm not covered, I'm naked, I'm defenseless." The Lord said, "I'm your shield." Isaiah wrote that. He said, "It shall come to pass," the Lord told Isaiah, "it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking," Lord, I'm a... Don't be afraid. "While they're yet speaking, I'll hear." And I was thinking of the wisdom of that. That's not just the compassion. That is the compassion of God. That's the love of God to His people. A caring hand of God to answer before we even ask it. But I thought of the wisdom of that. The wisdom of that. That petition, that prayer of petition in our youth, because we're little children, right? Turns into thanksgiving that fast. "Lord, you gonna leave me alone?" "He ain't gonna leave me alone. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving me alone." That's why I was talking to a child of God that was so just down and hurt and wounded. And they were like, "I don't even know if I'm the Lord's. I have no assurance. I have no shield. I have no reward. I'm afraid." And they were looking to self. That's what Abram was doing. They were looking to their situation that was around them. They were looking at the providence that the Lord had sent. And I said, "Well, is Christ going to save His people?" "Yeah. Yeah, He's going to do that." "You think He's going to lose one?" And they went from, "Well, no. Uh-uh." "You think they're going to be in glory with Him? They're going to be made perfect?" "Well, of course they are. Yeah." And you just watch that body just straighten out some. Because the confidence isn't in ourselves, it's in Him. It's in Him. He set us in that room that's large. And we go from petitioning Him to thanking Him. And James said, "Ye ask and ye receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." That's what Paul was saying. I wrote that down yesterday. Paul said, "Pray for us, brethren. Pray for us. I'm not a priest. I can't mediate between God and man. My prayers are no more impactful than anybody else's just because I preach. That don't make a difference. But I ask you to pray for me. I'll pray for you." When somebody says, "Kevin, pray for me. Pray that this will happen. Pray so-and-so gets better." And I'd like those things. That's true. If the Lord's, don't cheat a blessing. If the Lord sent a trial, I pray that trial stays as hard as that is. And it's easy for me to pray for somebody else. Lord, keep this trial. I asked for wisdom one time, and I'll never ask for that again. It got rough last January, and then it got rougher. And I thought, all right, I've been through this a couple of times. I have some experience and patience. I understand the Lord has now dealt. Got a couple more levels down. But if I pray for you, Lord, keep this trial that you've sent until it's accomplished its purpose that you sent it for. And that'll happen. And what's going to be the end state of that? You see Christ exalted. Or you got cancer, you're going to see Christ exalted if you're His. You got woes between one another, you're going to see Christ exalted if you're His. That's what it is. Fear not. Fear not. And he calls us by name. Paul said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I'm thankful. You want to pray on behalf of a group? You imagine this whole world in prostrate, just flat on their faces, and you're the only one standing up looking to a holy God. You want to speak on behalf of them people? That's what's happening when you stand up and pray for a group. Lord, be with us. Forgive us for what we are. You're holy. Let us see Christ today. Give us today our daily bread. It's simple, don't it? Fear not, Abram. I'm thy shield. Abram was afraid. Abram knew he wasn't covered. Did the Lord come to him and say, that's a dumb way to think. Knock it off. What's wrong with you? He didn't, did he? In tenderness, long suffering, bearing the burdens. He said, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. What's a shield? That's an answered prayer before it was prayed, wasn't it? Shield's a protection. It's a buckler. A buckler is the word there. A buckler is a very small shield. It's a little round one, you know, like it's a little bit smaller than Captain America's for you young folks. A small shield, a buckler. And that's a little shield that's defensive, but it's also offensive. It's offensive and defensive. And it's useful in any situation. It's easy to carry. It's quick. It's light. It's not a heavy burden. That's what it is, the shield, a small shield, a buckler. And buckler's also literally translated crocodile hide. I love that. I love that. He's our buckler. He's our crocodile hide. That's a durable covering. That's an eternal covering. That's what it is. He's our atonement. He's our covering. He's our buckler. I am your shield, Abram. What do believers need shielded from? The penalty of the law. I cannot stand the just sentence that I earned. I can't handle it. I need a shield. I need a shield. Christ must be my shield. The fiery darts of the devil, I have no protection. I can't run away from him. He's my shield. He's my buckler. I need a robe of righteousness. It's not just that I'm the purchased possession of Christ. I have to have acts from a holy nature. He's given me that holy nature, but I have to have a perfect life from conception to end. He's my righteousness. He's my shield. I need shielded from my own wicked thoughts and my own wicked actions. I need shielded from me. And that warfare that goes on inside of every believer, from that old man, that new man, and that old accuser that lives, it's just the new man's housed in this body of death. I need a shield. Left, I don't need enemies. I got plenty of them right here. I just look them in the mirror every day. Like that walls of the city of refuge, we're protected. We're protected. And this is personal. This is personal. This isn't a theological standpoint. This isn't a systematic theology. This is personal. Abram, he called him by name and he said, I am thy shield. Thy shield. He didn't say a word, I'm a shield of that king of Sodom. He didn't say, I'm anybody's shield that'll have me. He said, I am your shield. I'm thy shield. You are mine and I'm yours. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Don't be afraid. It is I'm thy shield. Just the same way as that ark, which was Christ, was a shield, a protector of Noah and all that were inside of it. Against all those waters, all those waves of wrath, of judgment, beating on the outside of that ark and that pitch that was pitched without and within. He was our shield. Christ is a shield to all those that's inside of him. Abraham was also afraid of something else. He'd given away all the spoils of war. That's good provision, isn't it? Well, we can hold out for another 10 years. We'll still plant crops and stuff, but we got a buffer. We have an emergency. We have a 6-month emergency fund put back, and we'll be fine. He just gave it all away. Take it. Beat it. He had to provide for those people. He didn't have anything for them. There was no reward from this battle. He'd fought this battle and won, but there was no reward. There's no rewards in the battles of this earth. And what we fight and what we go through and our arrows that we just want to fling and send or ones that's hitting us, there's no reward from that. those 318 souls with him he went and fought those kings with, come back, and he had to provide for them. And the Lord says, in this fear, in this nakedness, this exposure that Abram has, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The word of the Lord, Christ our King, speaks comfort and peace in the hearts of his children. And he tells them of our security being in him. And you're either safe or you're not. You're either safe or you're not. You're either shielded or you're not. You're either covered or you're naked. You could be in that city of refuge and be broke. You could be fully covered and starve to death, couldn't you? I could have the best coat on in the world and die of hunger. Abraham's protected. But what kind of reward does he have? An exceeding great reward. It's not just that he's been saved. He has an exceeding great reward. It's not just he's protected. He has a reward that will not get used up. But it grows. An exceeding great reward. It waxes greater and greater. Paul wrote that in Romans 8. He says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That doesn't work the way our mortal minds comprehend it, the way our society understands it. Worldly, if someone has a child and a family member dies, there may be an inheritance. Someone has to die for you to get an inheritance, don't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that died for his people to give us our inheritance. But he is the inheritance. We can't get that, can we? I believe it, but that don't math out in our head. That ledger sheet don't add up to us, does it? He is our inheritance. He is our great reward. I am thy great reward, their exceeding great reward. I have four children. And if I die, they're probably going to get a hodgepodge of cheap tools, if they're still working in it. They'll have some pictures and maybe a small life insurance policy, but they got to split that four ways. Don't work out much, does it? Their inheritance, if any, will be divided among them because I died. Earthly, we get that. God's sons and daughters, we all have the same inheritance, and it's not diminished. It's an exceeding great reward. Those that number more than the sands of the sea, from every tribe, kindred, nation under heaven, each one of them fully, as if none other exists, have Christ as our reward. How's that possible? I can't explain it. It's so. That's deep, isn't it? Is that over our heads? How deep in the water you got to swim to get wet? That's deep water, isn't it? Paul said, it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Dwell on that. I'm his and he is mine and he's yours. And it's just as much for you as it is for me. And it's the same, but it's individual. That'll get you through the day, won't it? Dwell on these things. Work's a hard place to be sometimes, isn't it? He told his people, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's not a low-end motel, is it? That's him. He's the place he went to prepare for us. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Is that exceedingly great to you? Or do you need a diamond in your crown or some nonsense? Oh, I want to. What carat of gold is the streets paved in? I don't care if they got streets. Where's Christ at? I want to be with him. He's heaven. That's what's in Genesis 1. God created the heaven, capital H heaven. That's not a city, that's a person. Hebrew writer said, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Christ is the rightful heir. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And being joined with him in the Father's electing grace, put in Christ before the foundation of the world, we're heirs with him. We're heirs with him. He's the head and we're the body. He has joined himself to us. Oh, Brother Marvin Stoniker said that. He goes, the monarch, the queen over in England, she wears the crown on her head. She's the sovereign in man's terms. She's the monarch. But her pinky finger, does it wear the crown? It don't have a crown on it, but it's attached to the head, isn't it? The head wears the crown, but every member of that body is joined with it, isn't it? Joint heirs. That's more than we can fathom. Paul also said, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For Abram, and for every child of God, for every sinner made one with Christ, he speaks in that great time of fear, in that great time of worry, in that great time of doubt, in that valley, deep down in that valley of the shadow of death. And he says, fear not. Fear not. I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. He says, I am your God, and you are my people. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Well, what's the work of salvation? He shall save his people from their sins. Who's the person that does that? The Lord our shepherd. And in him is the totality of God. He provides all, heals all. He's our shield. He's our defender. He's everything, isn't he? He's our shepherd. He leads us. What's our reward in this work of salvation that is accomplished, that's plumb done by God Almighty? Salvation's of the Lord. Well, what do we got to do with it? He's our shield. He's our peace. And he's our exceeding great reward. He does the work of salvation. He's the person of salvation. And he is our great reward. If you want something else, I don't know what to tell you. You got any better news? There ain't such a thing. If there's, I've heard my whole life. If there's a better gospel, I'd preach that. I don't know what's any better than that. I'm scared and naked and broke. But God, who's rich in mercy, comes and says, fear not, I'm your shield, I'm your great reward. He fills all needs, then. Amen. Thank you for having us this weekend. Everybody's fed us. I've ate good. I told Kim, I said, this shirt shrunk what time I was here. I don't know what's happening. We've been put up good, and I'm just tickled to see everybody. We love you. I pray for you often. I don't tell you as often as I should how much we thank you, and every one of you. And Eric, Michelle, I just love you. Thank you. Thank you for preaching to me. All right. Thank you, Pastor.